Penguin Random House Audio presents The Conservative Environmentalist, Common Sense Solutions for a Sustainable Future. This is the author, Benji Backer. Introduction. Evolution, not revolution. Above New York City's Union Square looms an 80-foot-wide digital display known as the climate clock that is counting down, second by second, how much time the planet has before it hits 1.5 degrees Celsius of global warming above pre-industrial levels. This number marks Earth's so-called deadline, the designated threshold at which catastrophic changes in the environment will become irreversible. At this point, sea levels are predicted to engulf all coastal cities, ice sheets will be completely lost, and all animals will begin disappearing. Sounds ominous, right? It's supposed to. Alarmism sells, and a realistic discussion about climate change doesn't, so I've learned. You need only to look at the content on your social media feed to know that fear is the number one tool used by political influencers and news reporters to elicit thousands of vicious tweets, disparaging comments, and shock-faced emojis. With outspoken voices on the political right calling green energy deadlier than the coronavirus, and those on the political left predicting a fast-approaching end-of-the-world date, it's understandable that fear and outrage about our future characterize our generation. I don't agree with their tactics, or the idea that Earth will be an apocalyptic wasteland by 2050, but alarmists are right that we have a problem on our hands. While I've clashed with my fellow conservatives over whether climate change is real, the science, as well as the empirical evidence of record-breaking temperatures and the increased frequency of natural disasters, tells us definitively that the Earth really is warming up. And though the planet has been steadily increasing in temperature since the Industrial Revolution, we've seen significant increases in recent history. Over the past 7 decades, carbon dioxide levels have climbed nearly 5 times as fast as in the decades prior. To put those changes in some historical context, the amount of rise in carbon dioxide levels since the late 1950s would naturally have taken somewhere in the range of 5,000 to 20,000 years. We've managed to do it in about 60 years. At the same time, the rate of warming averaged 0.14 degrees Celsius per decade. The 9 years from 2013 to 2021 rank as the warmest ever recorded. The rapid rate of temperature rise over such a short period of time points to only one thing: greenhouse gases. That said, reacting with despair is the last thing we should be doing. In times of trouble, the best thing we can do is think logically and act methodically. Instead, the conversation has been dominated by Greta Thunberg, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Green New Deal, and calls for panic and despair-driven measures like the immediate and total ban of fossil fuels. Unlike Greta and many well-known climate activists who call for governments around the world to take extreme and drastic measures that will impact our liberty and economic security, I'm a conservative. I want to change the narrative surrounding climate change and spread the good news that there is so much we can do and are already doing to fix the climate without sacrificing the things that are important to us: economic security, an open and free market, and our liberty. I want to take care of the environment with local solutions, capitalist incentives, and innovation, all of which are compatible with conservatism. Conservation and conservative are cognates, after all. Eyebrows are always raised when I tell people I'm a conservative environmentalist. But the reality is that there are many of us. In 2019, 82% of 18 to 35-year-olds polled indicated that climate change is important to them, including 77% of right-leaning and 90% of independent respondents. Many rural conservative Americans, whose hometowns are among regenerative farms, sustainable agriculture, and land conservancies, see caring for the environment as a natural way of life. Further, some of the most climate-friendly states, including Maryland, Indiana, New Hampshire, and Georgia, which all boast some of the highest rates of emissions reductions in the country, are led by Republican governors. Yet, when it comes to finding their voice in a political climate driven by fear and catastrophic thinking, most conservatives don't even know where to start. It wasn't always this way. The truth is, conservatives have a track record of enacting pro-climate policies, even if you'll never hear about them in the mainstream media. Theodore Roosevelt earned his name as the conservation president when, during his time in office, he created 150 national forests, 55 federal bird reserves, and 5 national parks, altogether protecting approximately 230 million acres of public land. In 1970, President Nixon created the Environmental Protection Agency through executive order, which has since served as a cornerstone in the protection of human health and the environment. In his State of the Union address that year, he declared, "The great question of the 70s is, shall we make our peace with nature and begin to make reparations for the damage we have done to our air, to our land, and to our water?" 2 years later, frustrated with the lack of movement on 18 environmental bills he hoped to pass, he delivered an urgent message to Congress. "These problems will not stand still for politics or for partisanship." When all was said and done, Nixon ended up leaving a legacy of legislation like the National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Air Act, and Endangered Species Act. During his term, President Ronald Reagan set aside over 12.5 million acres of public land and helped mitigate the national ozone crisis by establishing the International Montreal Protocol, which succeeded in phasing out harmful chemicals from common household products. This policy was lauded as one of the greatest environmental achievements of the 20th century. George H.W. Bush, who succeeded Reagan, pledged that he would be remembered as the environmental president. Most famously, he advocated for and signed the 1990 Clean Air Act amendments, the most expansive environmental regulatory legislation in the nation's history. The act served to eliminate the dense smog present in nearly every major U.S. city. It also tackled the problem of acid rain caused by sulfur dioxide emissions from coal-burning power plants, which had been devastating the lakes and forests of the northeastern part of our country. Even more notable than the success of Bush's environmental efforts was his economically creative, albeit at times controversial, approach. Instead of the traditional command and control strategies that had dominated environmental policymaking, he used a cap-and-trade mechanism that harnessed the power of the market. The government wouldn't tell polluters how to lower emissions, but simply imposed a cap on them each year. 8 years later, George W. Bush would carry on his father's environmental legacy, signing a historic bipartisan legislation that accelerated the cleanup of toxic brownfields, land formerly used for development that has significant environmental contamination, as well as implementing the Healthy Forests Initiative, which helped restore valuable woodlands and rangelands and reduced forest fires. The younger Bush also designated nearly 140,000 square miles of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands as a marine national monument. Conservative climate action champions continued to make headlines on the state level, too. Republican California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed the California Global Warming Solutions Act, making California the first state in the nation to cap greenhouse gas emissions. The governor is famous for declaring, "California will not wait for our federal government to take strong action on global warming. International partnerships are needed in the fight against global warming, and California has a responsibility and a profound role to play to protect not only our environment, but to be a world leader on this issue as well." He would make good on his word by leaving an impressive legacy of environmental firsts, including the creation of the Western Climate Initiative, the world's first international carbon action partnership, in collaboration with European Union countries, other U.S. states, and Canadian provinces, and the first in the nation mandatory Green Building Standards Code, also known as CalGreen. My goal is to carry on this long tradition of conservative environmentalism. This book is the culmination of 7 years of on-the-ground conservative climate advocacy focused on shifting the narrative from partisanship, divisiveness, and rhetoric into one of solutions, actions, and results. I'm writing it because I'm tired of the tribal approach to climate policies that pits well-meaning people against one another in an ongoing battle of moral and intellectual self-righteousness. I'm writing it because I'm optimistic about our ability to rationally address climate change. Growing up in the mid...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?